Township of McKeller regular meeting of council for October the 7th, 2025, to order. Start with roll call.
Counselor Devizula.
Counselor Nick Ryland.
Counselor Mike Ketchman.
Clerk Administrator Kelly Brand.
Mayor David Moore. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. Resolution 25-420, moved by Counselor Ryland, second by Counselor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby approve the agenda for this regular meeting of council as presented. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Moving right on to 11.1, delegations and presentations. And I'll read this first, I guess, before. So we'll thank him before he presents. That's good. So I have resolution 25-421, moved by Councilman Zulak, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby receive the deputation from Peter Duffy, member of the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, to present the new pamphlet entitled Spraying for Mosquitoes, Things to Consider. And further, that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKeller does hereby direct staff to include the pamphlet Spraying for Mosquitoes, Things to Consider, with the 2026 interim tax bills. Mr. Duffy, it's all yours.
Thank you, Your Worship. Good evening, councillors. I believe you have a copy of the pamphlet in front of you. One of the things you may notice, we did a similar one, Protecting the Waters of McKeller, a couple of years ago, and in the middle of it, it had one page where we talked, maybe even a paragraph where we talked about spraying. A couple of interesting conversations took place after that. Through talking to people at the market when Jennifer's there as part of BNLCA, and talking to some of my neighbors who quite enjoy a lot of the materials that we put out, they said, you know, you guys should put out one on spraying and fogging. I said, well, we did. It was that paragraph. And it became apparent to me, and it became apparent to a few other members on the committee, that people were associating insecticides with spraying, not fogging. And pet peeve of mine, I have a neighbor that fogs, and I talked to him about it and all the bad things, and he's like, well, I wish you guys should put something out of it. We had before. When I was driving over here and I was actually thinking about what I was going to say, we may need to change the title on this to fogging instead of spraying, because there seemed to be some confusion around it. While we're here, obviously, we would like to once again ask for space in the tax mailing for January to put this out. The committee was fully supportive of it, LSEC, and there could be some slight changes to it. Councillor Ryland sent me some exceptionally good material last week that had a couple of buzz phrases in it that I'd really like to get into this.
Huge choice of words, buzz phrases.
But yeah, they were. Very impactful statements about how much of this stuff is going into the environment in Canada. This is one of the things that when I looked into it, and now I scratch my head, it's kind of like the Get the Lead Out campaign. I scratch my head and go, how is this still legal? With all the science behind it. So we'd like to reserve that slot. We'd like to get in to the January tax bill. We had originally wanted to go later. The reason we're targeting January, obviously, we want it out before the spring, because that's when everybody signs up for the spring. The changes to the brochure, if anything, will be slightly, and I do mean slightly, editorial. And, of course, they would come back And any changes or comments that you folks have that you'd like to see, and that we'd be more than happy to incorporate.
Okay, any questions from members of council? Ask people online as well. Go ahead, Mr. Ryan. Councilor.
My question is, I mean, sending it in the January tax bill means it will go out in when? December?
No, so the mailing is in mid-February.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, okay. You're right. The other question I have is that on the basis that might be too far in advance of spring, I don't think people would consider, I'll use the word spring for the time being anyhow, or fogging. At that time, because there's still snow on the ground, at least almost certainly more, there's still snow. The question is, if we wanted to do a mailing with just the brochure, and I know that will cost us money, if we were to mail it to at least all the, well, we could do all the residents and or the part-timers, do you have any idea what that would cost us? And I know we don't have money for that in the Lake Stewardship budget for this year, but it seems to me that I don't want people to get these things and think, yeah, I'll look at this later in the spring, and then it's gone, right?
Yeah, it'd be about $1,800. Instead of doing a mailing, like, we could do the mailing in interim bills, but closer to the season of spring or fogging,
yeah.
We could do a social media blast of the pamphlet or little bits of information weekly to kind of get it out as well. We could take other avenues other than a mailing.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I just think, like I said, a lot of things that people got, just like when we mailed out the stickers for the transfer station, and people didn't know because they didn't look in the envelope, they weren't expecting it. And I think things like this, people that are well-intentioned will actually, you know, read it and think, yeah, I'm going to keep this and put this somewhere. In my case, I would put it on the fridge because that's about the only place I could be guaranteed to find it. But it seems to me if we lose the benefit of people adopting it or learning from it, at least, then it might be worth paying for it. And even if we had to do not a budget request or some other means to do it, and I don't think we should hold back on, I don't think that we should schedule it to follow tax bills if that doesn't coincide with the season that we're talking about. So I have noticed a bunch of signs too, Peter, and you may have as well, certainly on Highway 400. There's a sign on 124 on the north side, right? And when I'm going down the 400 to Barrie and other places south, I've now noticed that there's like four or five of those giant signs where they're spraying for mosquitoes is their big deal. And I think that's the thing that people think, you know, I need to do this or whatever. And certainly nobody likes mosquitoes, me least of all, but I don't know, and I'm not looking for a decision on that. I just think that, I mean, it should be something that maybe we investigate, and even if nothing else, that if the committee thinks so, that we make a provision for that in our next year's budget, just so that we aren't tied specifically to the two dates of the year that a mailing goes out. But
if I could offer an alternate opinion on that?
Sure.
Part of my thinking when I designed this, when I actually designed the front page, you know, it says spray, and then there's a big no sign, and then the township and the Keller on it. If it comes out with your tax bill, everybody looks at your tax bill. If this was the only thing in an envelope, my thought is it may end up in the garbage. If it comes with the tax bill that everybody sees, and this is what they see, they're going to think. My hope is that they'll see that and go, the kettle's just banned, we can't do it anymore. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Open it up and read it. And that's the key. The message is good, but the key is how you get the message to somebody. And I think if they see this, they may go, all the people that are doing it may go, oh my goodness, the kettle's not banned. It's been banned. And they're going to open it up and read it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that will then, at least they're reading the material. And then the message will stick with them, and either it works or it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But that was kind of, if we get it in with the tax bill, to us it had a little more officialness to it.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was good. I was looking through, and I kept thinking, well, what's the alternative? And eventually I got to it.
Mm-hmm.
They're offered, certainly, on the second part. I guess the thinking behind it was that you have to look at how serious of a problem it is before you start offering solutions. retired, I guess, English teacher. I think it's well put together, certainly well worded. And with the additions that Councillor Ryland's talking about, and I'm sure that'll be fine as well. So I think it does have an official look to it, certainly. Other comments from council? Anybody online wish to comment on this? Well, thanks very much. Appreciate
Thank
that
you.
All the work you do on the committee.
Yeah.
Maybe just as an aside, how are we doing with the turtle crossings? From what I'm seeing on Facebook now and again, that we're going to have signs everywhere. Because are you limiting the locations? Because it seems to be crossing everywhere.
What we have decided to do, because there are big stretches like Center Road, so pretty much from I've got to get my roads right here. So pretty much from almost the entire length of Center Road, there's turtle crossings. So instead of putting all the signs up, what we have asked and work said they could do is on the bottom, turtle crossing, and then it's going to say for the next 10 kilometers.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's good.
And cover off the whole thing. So, you know, keep your eyes open when you're on Center Road. Yeah. That was our big problem, was the one on Center Road. You'd have to be putting one up every 500 feet, turtle crossing. But we've tackled that with the for the next 10 kilometers. So and we took all the data that people gave us and
excellent.
I love the loon stories that you published on Facebook and things too.
They're
really
dear to my heart.
Anyhow.
I'm going to stick around because I have a big interest in 1920. So.
Okay. We have the resolution. I'll follow my question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried.
And the resolution says it's going to be included in the tax bill.
Right.
Yeah, the colors look much better on my screen than they do on that. The red looks more pink on that printed copy, but it's not a big deal. So.
This one, I don't know what happened to mine. But
maybe it got exposed to sunshine or something, maybe? I don't know.
It'll look good when we're done.
Yeah.
Okay, on to item 12.1, resolution 25-422, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby move into committee the whole at
6:43 p.m.
to review and discuss the draft bylaw to establish a notice policy. Any discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Okay, maybe Carla can give a little background on this. I think you did in your preamble anyway, but just bring everybody up to speed.
The Township's current notice bylaw 2003-04 is significantly outdated. Several sections referenced in the original bylaw have now since been repealed or no longer enforced from the Municipal Act. Instead of keeping a similar template to that bylaw, I've now more or less turned it into a policy. So the newly drafted bylaw is constructed in the form of a policy with Appendix A setting out relevant sections of the Municipal Act that stipulate notice requirements. In addition, notice requirements from each certain Ontario regulation and the Planning Act have also been incorporated. For ease of reference and improved transparency, hyperlinks will, once this is completed, will be in the document as well, so that the public can click on the OREG or the Act and be brought right to it to see the notice requirements. So just bringing this forward to Committee of the Whole for Council's review and input.
Great, thank you. Turn it over to Council. Any particular comments? I have a few, but I'll wait. Councilor Zula.
On page 9, 34, at the bottom it says Township of Champlain. Should be my color.
Yeah, I wonder what that is.
Well, it doesn't say Elliott Lake.
Or whatever that was, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I always like when there's hyperlinks that bring you directly to the document. Just a couple of things. I do like in the previous bylaw, and it would be nice if we actually received the previous bylaw with the current draft so that we can make actual comparisons. But I did like in the previous byline, the schedules, it provided a section that was called content of notice to ensure that the information, almost like a checklist, to make sure that the important important information is included in the notice. So it's not just a very brief notice, oh, we're discussing this, without giving basically there's some of the things that it said, explanation of, in this case, this is procedure for notice highway closings, explanation of road closing, including location, section of the act, including requirements, date, time, place of public meeting for consideration of the bylaw, written comments or verbal comments will be considered at the public meeting where the bylaw is to be enacted, address where to respond with comments prior to the public meeting, contact information at the municipal office, clerk, treasurer, CO's name and title. So I think it's good to have that in there just to ensure that it's consistent, and those are questions that people are going to call and ask about, so it's better that it's actually in the notice that's being presented.
Now the one thing just related to that, number 7 on page 3, the contents of public notice, pretty well covers what you were saying. However, what you're suggesting, I guess, is for each one, for each notice, it'd be repeated.
And each one's a little bit different. Well, it's, yes, pretty consistent. So you were saying page 7 and what number?
It's page 3. It's number 7, contents of public notice. Because 7.6 says name and address of the person who will receive written comments on the issue. Notice is given for person or by the clerk or designated on his behalf. They talk about the location of the meeting, virtual meeting link if applicable. So I think that covers what you were describing. Just doesn't repeat all the way through. And
okay.
I'm just wondering what would be most effective, to repeat it in each notice area or item, or just have a generalization at the start?
This is fine too, as long as it's adhered to when the notice is put
right
up. So as long as it's adhered to, and then that's fine as well. I'm wondering on page 1, the purpose. The Corporation of the Township of McKellar acknowledges the importance of having an informed public. The Township of McKellar is an accountable and transparent organization that believes that its residents should be made aware of the business of the municipality. I think there should be a period there, and the next sentence is not included because it says, I'll read it again, so with what's there. The Corporation of Township McKellar acknowledges the importance of having an informed public. The Township McKellar is an accountable and transparent organization that believes that its residents should be made aware of the business of the municipality, period, and not to include this. And as such, that commitment is characterized in the Township McKellar's values of transparency and accountability. Saying the same thing twice and with really no additional effect. It actually makes it a little confusing when you're reading that entire paragraph.
Okay, duly noted, I think.
So then on page 4 of 12, and so the next few sections, I believe there's numerous sections that don't even need to be included because they're not applicable to McKellar Township. And if we're going to be adding some of these, I'll start with the one, utilities. We're not a utility commission, so this, we don't have a utility commission, so we're not disconnecting power, so I don't think that that's applicable.
I was thinking of that as well, but that, I know we could talk about electricity, power, and various things like that, water. How would our transfer station be described? Is that, in a sense, the utility that's available to people, or is that something different?
Not,
it might not fit under their definition.
Yeah. So this is from the Municipal Act, this Section 81, and it's specifically talking about municipal utility commissions. It's talking about water and power utility commissions. It has nothing to do with any other service the municipality is providing.
So there's no way that you could fit in that. If we shut off the service of the transfer station, that's a little different than water, power.
No, that has absolutely nothing to do. If you read that entire section of Municipal Act, it's specifically referring to a municipality that is providing utilities in the sense of
like Prairie Sound would.
Yes, like Prairie Sound.
Prairie Sound Water.
And section 10, business improvement area. We don't have a business improvement board, and this is not applicable to our municipality as it currently stands. The problem with this is the numerous extra sections here of the Municipal Act that are added, there are hundreds of provincial acts that have been passed. Are we going to go through every one of them and pick out the notices in each one of those acts when it's not something that we're that's not something that we're engaging with, and it's just general information to the public? There is the one that was in the previous version as well dealing with the budget. I think that that's important because it does say that there's a required to have a public meeting. If I can find that one. And I think that's why the previous version is a good template to see which notices are actually ones that were used on a regular basis and that were applicable to McKellar Township.
Yeah, thanks for the feedback. I just wanted to start with most of them and then we can peel them back, just because a lot of the sections referenced in the previous notice bylaw are repealed in the Municipal Act now. So a lot of them didn't even, don't have notice periods or are completely removed from the Act. So I put in a lot, and, the last time it wasn't amended, this one is 22 years old. So I thought if we add more in, even though we don't have a BIA right now, maybe in 20 years we would. But not to say, it's not applicable to us, but even though it's still in the notice bylaw, we wouldn't be referencing it in present day. But I have no problem with removing what were not applicable right now.
I think it just, like I said, then we can start looking through the hundreds of different provincial acts and looking at what they say about notice. And we can have a document as big as this council package for a notice bylaw when the previous one was and now with those sections, those schedules that are no longer applicable because they've been repealed. I think it makes more sense to have something that's concise, because is staff going to read through a document? How often are they going to read through the notice bylaw?
Fairly often, every time they put a notice out. I think the only thing that I'd like to keep kind of intact is more the financial part of it. A lot of that was missing, not to say that we do some of these processes frequently, but in the rare event that we did come up across it, then at least staff would have a clear direction as to how to move forward with it. I realize a lot of it's as required by the Act, but at least it gives staff a heads up that there is something in the Municipal Act that they do need to give notice to.
So regarding that, this is the financial portion that you're talking about, 19. This is 7 of page 12 and 19. Section 308, establishment of tax ratios. Municipal Act, notice requirements. The minister may make regulations requiring municipalities to establish tax ratios, to give notice of the tax ratios to such persons and in such manner as prescribed. Township McKellar, notice requirements as required by the Act. So what does the Act say about to such persons in a manner as is prescribed?
Right, then the staff member would have to look up that section of the Act to find the notice requirements, because I didn't want to add all of it into this bylaw, because like you mentioned before, then it would be a very lengthy document.
So I think it's not something, there's certain things that are notices are provided on a regular basis which are relevant and which makes sense to have in the notice bylaw. But to have pages and pages of sections from the Municipal Act that aren't specifically relevant to notice required to give to the public, It doesn't make a lot of sense to have them in here. As well, there are some that are relevant that aren't in there, such as from the Building Code Act, when the municipality is required to provide notice regarding the changes or changes to the fees in the Building Code Act. So, pursuant to Section 7.1 of the Building Code Act, 1992, empowers councils to pass certain bylaws respecting construction, demolition, changes of use, permits, fees, and inspections. Pursuant to Section 7.6 of the Building Code Act, 1992, the Council of the Corporation of blank, whatever, will be holding a public meeting on November, whatever, in the council chambers to consider changes to the building fees.
I can add that.
This one's relevant, and we just this was brought up prior to the changes of the building
fees and charges.
So,
yeah, I'm noticing a number here referring to the financial, as you say, the taxes that weren't in the previous one. And I think it's good for the public, certainly, to know if they should be notified about something. But maybe it's overkill. Maybe there are too many in here. Any other areas? The confusing part is, I think, it's under scope and it's also repeated under... because the notice sort of comes last on the whole thing. It says notice is otherwise prescribed by statute, regulation, bylaw, or other policy that takes precedence. Requirements of notice are prescribed in another policy, resolution, or bylaw, which would be hard to find. That takes precedence over the notice bylaw. And where council directs an alternate form or manner of public notice or deems that notice is not required, that one is very broad. If council just decides that you know, we should be notifying some other method, or maybe not notifying at all. There should be some rules and regulations which ones should go out to the public before you do something. And I think overall that we have been doing that. We've made a couple of changes to notices. We've added somebody who complained about the date not being on it. It's on there now right there. And I think most notices, public notices, have most of this information there. I had a few points too, but you go ahead, Councillor Kuykendall. You're not done yet, I don't think.
You go ahead. Those are the main points. I'll just look through here if there's any.
I'm just in the. This is a technical again coming out of the fourth whereas. We had it above, but the third one deems it advisable. I think we just left out Corporation Township McKellar deems it advisable to establish a public notice policy.
Sorry, what page are you on to?
This is on page 0.
It's an interesting page number.
So delete the fourth whereas completely?
Well, leave it. No, put it in, but just put it out. Deems it. That seems to be missing the two words, that's all. I think it just slipped through there. And in the therefore, second that, if a section of the bylaw is found invalid, the ultra vires doesn't necessarily, I'm just not saying that that's not what invalidation means. It just means beyond jurisdiction. There could be other reasons why it's not valid. And I'm thinking that alter vires should be removed as a separate comment. And then 4, bylaws should come into force to take effect upon its date of passing. Page 1 under definitions, as we've done with most of them, definitions as they apply in this bylaw. Because quite often, what will happen is you'll find another bylaw or something has a different definition for the posted, and then it talks about published. Now look, is there a distinction? We often say you post on the website. But it's published on the website. So can it be posted on the website?
Yeah, I think posted is more of a physical sign, like on a property, and published would be published on the website.
I'll have to change my emails. Get this posted on the website. I'll say published. And I'm wondering, you talk about links at the very bottom of page one, website. Do we actually have a link there as well?
Under the public notices definition, there's a link there.
Okay, that should do that. Page two, there's a reference, this is in the third paragraph, I guess, the accessibility policy. There could be a link to that. And I'm not sure about on number five on page two if you wanted to add the Planning Act. I think you did it in other locations, so Municipal Act, other provincial statutes. I think we focused on planning and municipal. And seven on page three. You got all those things I've got beyond there, and I just mentioned the dating, which we do now. I'm not sure that's in the list. I guess 7.5, the date, time, and location of the meeting. But is there an actual date for when the notice is published? And page four. Sorry, I'm not always watching for hands going up, so if you want to jump in, go ahead. Talks here about our closure of road allowances. And maybe Councillor Cuckenden would object to this. We haven't run into it very often where we actually close a road. It's not a road allowance. It's an actual road that may be closed. And I'm just wondering if it should apply to that as well as road allowances. As I say, I can't think of any situation where that's happened. But sometimes the road is put in a different direction. It's diverted, perhaps. Section 48, naming private roads, number two on page four. Local municipality may change or name or change the name of a private road. Can it change the name of any road? Or is it just a private road? Not that you would, but Councillor Carter.
So I think this section, as well as the previous one that you mentioned, are directly from the Municipal Act.
So yes, those are.
So that's if we want to add maybe another section, then we can do that. But these are directly from dealing from the municipal act.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I'm just thinking, can we add to it? Then, as you say, a situation could happen where all people living on Center Road. Not that we've been contemplating that, but if you wanted to change the name of a particular road. We did run into it. It wasn't a private road. It was back in, I guess it's Swan Boulevard now. And so that was sent out to the people in there to come up with an actual name. And that's what they arrived at. But that would apply, so maybe that should be a separate notice. I think with the fire routes right now, too, they're sent out to individuals on that road. So that would be a private road. So I think it's covered.
David, can I ask a question on section four of page four, I think, yes. It says section 99, advertising devices. I was curious about that turn of phrase. What do we mean by devices?
I have to research that further. It was just in the Municipal Act, so I added it to the policy.
Sorry, say that again.
I'd have to look into it further.
Okay.
Honestly, I'm not sure, but it was in the Municipal Act as something that we would have to give notice to, so I just added it within the policy.
Councillor Cuckenden,
and what once again, I don't think it's applicable in our situation, because in that section of the municipal act, it's talking about the municipality can recoup the costs of storing these advertising devices and recoup that, the costs of, you know, all kinds of different scenarios. And I think these seem to be advertising devices that are on wheels that can get moved around. So, you know, once again, I think we need to decide what's applicable to our municipality and what isn't. And since we can't follow through with the other portions in the municipal act that deal with these advertising devices, I don't know if we should even include it at all. So,
could it be applicable to businesses, for instance? Well, I know it's a separate section here for business.
We have a sign bylaw that deals specifically with signs and what's allowed and what isn't. So this is 99.
Yeah, I just have to refresh my memory whether we deal with mobile devices that people put up and advertise things. Restructuring proposal. Again, that wouldn't necessarily be applicable. It was at one point, certainly, when a lot of changes were being made to municipalities and amalgamation, etc. But if it's going to stay, which is fine, it says 14 days notice. To me, that's a major undertaking. I'm not sure 14 days is enough. It used to be 1 month. Whether that should be increased, not everybody looks regularly at the notices, perhaps. And certainly, it shows up on the website, which is fine, but I'm just not sure 14 days. I know on Facebook, the problem you run into is that it's soon gone down the list, and people don't look down the list very often. They just come on and ask another question. So hopefully somebody will repeat it.
David, if I could jump in here, there's something I have on a much larger scale, but frankly, we seem to differ a great deal, probably for valid reasons, as to how the notification is provided, whether it's mail or the website or other things, including personal delivery for some of these things as well. And I don't know, I'm not suggesting that we don't have it, I'm just saying I don't know the rationale for how we decided on a specific means. But the other thing I'm concerned at is I've read several lengthy articles from the CBC about Canada Post and stopping daily mail delivery, potentially like to once a week, in some cases I've seen even up to 10 days. So, I mean, part of the problem is because inevitably we link these things to a number of days generally before something. But if, you know, if you're only getting mail once a week and we say 14 days, that really is two mail delivery days. And I know that's still just, you know, being talked about by ministers and things, but by the same token, it does seem to me that this will happen, if not immediately, then pretty soon thereafter, because the only way we're ever going to make Canada Post a viable financial entity is to reduce costs, and certainly that would probably be the number one way to reduce them.
I think Carly has covered that by looking at various ways of notification in each situation. It's not always by mail. That's just an option, right? In most cases, I've seen. And this quite often says the website. Now, that creates a problem, too, for those who don't have connections.
I know.
So
the other thing I would say is we rarely refer to it. We do in some cases social media. But I mean, truthfully, the difference between a website and social media, Facebook, if you want me to say that name, is that one gets pushed to me when I log into it, at least, whereas the website does not. And I took your earlier point that, you know, posting it on the website really doesn't do anything if people aren't looking or aren't looking on the day or days in question. So, I mean, I think on a regular basis, if we're going to mention the website, we should probably say the website and or social media, right? Because I think that's critical. And I think there is an enormous reluctance throughout the document on mail. And again, if this does get stripped back to 1 out of 5 days in a week, or 1 out of 7 days, if you want me to call it that, that's an enormous change. And it affects the viability of the notice time that is provided to well, to ratepayers and others, anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I'm not suggesting we should change it right now. We don't know what the outcome will be, except I genuinely genuinely believe that this will change, and it will change soon. So,
if you can find specifics where it just says
sure.
mail,
yeah.
I have to say, I think from what I recall having read it, is that it gives quite a few options.
Mm.
If it actually says mail, then we can look at that section.
Okay.
I think that's the key to.
Well, and the other thing I think we should consider too is we rarely mention email in here, and I know because I don't think hardly we have email addresses for really anybody, but we had a discussion sometime recently about creating a database, or am I hallucinating about that?
No, it was for a notification system.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
But the option is there too. I don't know whether people are aware of it. They can be notified. They can get on a list, right?
Yes.
They can be sent various things of information now. We have people in the past who have abused it as well.
Mm.
They want to know every little piece of information. It took up a lot of staff time to send that to the individual.
What I actually had thought about, I know it would be a large effort to do this, is to simply list the means of notifications, or the various methods, and I think there's at least four, maybe five, and then, you know, if we had like a text box in there in each of these sections, then we would know how that was being handled as well, right? And again, if email is the choice for something or a choice for something, then we have to be sure that we're giving people the means to enroll in email notifications anyhow. So do we ask them to do anything other than just provide their emailers?
It's hard to administer and facilitate without like a software or program or anything. If somebody emails me and says, I would like notification on this agenda item, when it moves forward in a future council meeting, I'm more than willing to do that. But once you get over a certain point, it's hard to manage.
Yeah. I'm sure. Right. Okay. Thank you. Sorry for all the troublesome questions, but anyhow.
On page 6, section 13, again, it's 14 days for the composition of council. It used to be 1 month. I'm just not sure why the time has been shortened. To me, those are major changes. If you start to look at a ward system as opposed to council and mayor elected at large, I'm just not sure 14 days would be enough. Councilor Kegan?
So that's section 217 to 219 is talking about composition of council or local municipality. So further down, point 15 on the same page, section 238, it talks about procedural bylaw, which is fine until 14 days prior to the public meeting period, and the next sentence should not be included there. So it starts talking about before passing a bylaw to change the composition of council.
Yeah, it slipped in somehow there, yeah.
And again, just as an example, that section 15 doesn't provide how we provide the public notice. It doesn't say mail, doesn't say email, doesn't say anything. At least if it does, I haven't seen it. So.
It says they're posted on the township's website, minimum 14 days prior to the public meeting.
Sorry, I missed the website. You're right up there. So. Sorry.
So page 7, this is number 18, section 295. And this is talking about publication of financial statements, municipal act requirements within 60 days after receiving the audited financial statements of the municipality for the previous year. The treasurer of the municipality shall A, publish in a newspaper having general circulation in the municipality a copy of the audited financial statements. So this is the entire financial statements. Are we doing that? If this is in the municipal act, have we been doing this?
I don't believe so, and that's what I mean with putting these policies in our notice bylaw so that staff are aware that when we are publishing our financial statements, this is the way that we have to do it in terms of the act.
So 295, let me see in the act, because I haven't seen this done by any municipality.
It used to be here.
At some point in time, maybe it was done, but
I remember seeing it.
Yeah, they
not recently,
And the other thing too, a part of that is the definition of newspaper.
Yeah.
I mean, I noticed a website, the digital.
Yeah.
As long as that's okay. They made some changes in the Municipal Act, but I'm not, like the expropriations bylaw, I don't think they ever changed that act to other methods other than in the newspaper. So it's confusing. They made some changes, but not all.
That's correct. Some legislation, newspaper is physical newspaper print, and in other legislation, newspaper does include digital newspapers. It's very confusing.
I think too, even when the treasurer does post, he has it online. It's sort of a reduced version. It's how would I say it? It's not the detail. It's more of an executive of the numbers, but it is on the website for the financial statements. Not always that easy to follow unless you're into that field of study, but it is there. And of course, if they want it more detailed, I ran into this on DSAP too, sitting on that board. They had two different budgets they put out, one to the public, the general one, and then the more detailed one that very few people ever asked for. But they'd have it internally if you wanted to go and look in more detail.
On page 9,
okay.
34, and they're talking about the fees and charges. Is that what's already in there, or did you want more of it? Is that not the same thing as what you were talking about, Mike? Under 34, is fees and charges bylaw?
Yeah.
Like you were saying, it's important to have that in there.
So the fees and charges next.
Page 9 at the bottom.
Are you suggesting 14 days instead of 7?
Yeah.
I think what Councillor Keckner was referring to before we ran into that would be in the building code.
Yeah.
That fees and charges couldn't be passed until the building code for the changes in their fees and charges was made. So,
oh, okay. I thought he meant like a public meeting.
Yeah. So the changes of the fees in the Building Code Act is not always necessarily associated with, because there's a section in the Municipal Act that specifically talks about fees and charges, which this is referring to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not referring
to
the
building
Code Act.
Okay.
Can I just ask if we could look at page 8, the first item in there, item 24, about giving a tenant a notice and asking them to pay the rent to the treasurer. That's a very awkward sentence, especially saying paying to the treasurer. I mean, I should say to the municipality, right, or to the township or the corporation or whatever words we want to use that way. But it's a run-on sentence, and it doesn't, I mean, after reading it, I understand now what it means, but it needs to be rewritten to make it more obvious that what we're changing is who they're paying the rent to, first of all, which would be the township, or not the treasurer per se, anyhow. And I think it would be best if we broke it into two sentences. But
if you have that clear, then you can explain to me whether it's the landowner, the tenant, is it municipal property that's being talked about, Councillor Keckner?
Well, I think this is another one that's not applicable. I think this is where the municipality is actually a landlord in a landlord-tenant situation.
Post office.
Okay.
Okay, that's...
What about the library?
In a sense, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just, the way it's worded, it's confusing, because when you first read it, you think right away, well, shouldn't you be collecting the taxes from the landlord, not from the tenant? But it's tenant of municipal property, I think, is the key. So.
Anyway, it is less than clear because we've got too many subjects in the same sentence, so... And as to the legality of it, I assume somebody's looked at that and says, yes, that's what that section allows us to do. I don't know. It does seem a little out there. So,
we did run into a situation, just going back quite a few years now. We were renting out the old school, I guess. It used to be the municipal office, too, and now it's Public Works Garage. And that person stopped using it, and I don't know whether it had much to do with taxes or what it was, but he was doing woodworking over there. And the material under seizure was seized after he left,
okay.
Whatever was left in the building. And so it has been used in the past.
Okay. The other thing is the next section, section 25, it said, I mean, at the end of that first line, it says if taxes on land remain unpaid after the due date. But, I mean, if this is a seizure, I've got to think that, I mean, we aren't doing things before 2 years, and lots of times we aren't doing it until much longer than 2 years. So, I mean, if we just say after the due date, I mean, literally the next day, right? I mean, I know we don't mean that, but, I mean, again, we need a lot more clarity as to exactly what that is and what that means, right? Because if we proceed to a tax sale, my recollection from talking to Roshan about this is it's a minimum of 2 years after the payment was due, and in general, 3 or 4 years. But, and frankly, we're not very efficient at doing that either, so.
But isn't that seizure different, like, isn't it, say, further on tax sales? Like, this is a separate category for that? This seizure, to me, is something different.
Mm. I think it's implied, and I haven't read, you know, the section to understand exactly what it means, but
yeah, that should be clarified because you're talking public auction, as you say, right away. So.
Yeah, you know.
If we sell your house because you're a day late, yeah, and then you're out on the street.
Yeah, because 32 is tax sales, entering to carry out tax sales.
Yeah, this needs a little better clarity. Like this.
So maybe it's tied in with 24, 25. I don't know. They follow one another.
Yeah. At the very least, it needs more context anyhow. So, and I'm not criticizing Carly. I'm sure this is an absolutely thankless job to be involved in doing this. So.
Well, and a lot of this is right out of the Act. Like, it's copy-paste out of the Act. So if we were to, you know, give notice upon one of these sections, we would get legal advice. So I don't think it needs to be spelled out super detailed in the policy because likely we would be doing this through a consultant or a solicitor. This is just sections from the Act that are referenced.
Okay, and you do end up by saying as required by the Act. So, I mean, that's fine, and I don't want to make this more wordy than it is or than it needs to be.
And I just don't want to add words that are misinterpreting the Act either.
Yeah. Are we doing too many things here?
No, it's good.
Back to page 17.
17 or 7?
Page 7 is section 17.
Okay.
Item 7. Okay. Talks about the budget. And I don't know whether we want to put this in here or not. I guess it would depend on the council, but normally something like that, you don't give all three readings in one meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's notices provided that there'll be two readings at one particular meeting. Some places they do one. Some places they do all three. But normally anything major like this, we give two and then give a week or two, certainly to the next meeting, to give people to comment, and then make an attempt anyway at a third reading, with changes if necessary. And I'm just thinking for something that important, maybe it should be specified how the council should operate, rather than just try to put all three together in one meeting.
So just a couple of points that come to mind. So this is Municipal Act, this is the absolute minimum. And then further on in the section, I think it was policy statement, that area, scope. One section here, it talks about that, you know, nothing prevents the township from providing more notice or giving more information than this basic minimum that's in the municipal law.
Yeah, what I'd like to see there is just the, as you're saying, Township of McKellar, a notice underneath, or you've got it there, notice requirement, that we specify so that even the council members, if they're new council members, they realize that it's two and one sort of thing. You do the first two and then you do the third later. Now, I suppose the other council can certainly change the notice policy. They can do all three readings in one meeting. And if the public is okay with that, then there's nothing we can do. But I'm just wondering so that they're aware that it's actually there. You say it's a general statement at the start. Yes, you can change the notice policy, et cetera. But if it's actually written out in that section for the budget, we're thinking it's that important. It's always a difficult situation to determine, I guess, how important is this bylaw? Should it have three readings in one meeting? And I'm thinking if we specify which ones should be separated by two meetings, that might make it easier.
I think definitely the budget one should be. I don't think you should do all three in one.
No. Well, especially if you're looking for input from the public.
And then there's other ones too, you know, if you get questions from the public, you know, regarding that, well, then you're not going to do all three. I mean, if you have any common sense, you know, you want to hear what the public have to say, you wouldn't do all three. Or if you thought maybe it was going to be something that the public would be questioning, and give them a chance to express how they feel.
Mm-hmm.
Noticing that as well, and this is on page 6, going back to section 16, references a newspaper again, and that's from our own bylaw, 2011-24. But I know, well, I guess the question is, since we started with it, this is our notice saying published in a newspaper, general circulation. My understanding is that the bylaw that exists takes precedence over this notice bylaw. It's sort of a reverse situation here. We don't want it to. We want to update it and say that newspaper means published on the website. So I'm not sure how that works as far as other bylaws taking precedence. I'll leave that one with you. And that comes up on page 7 to section 18. That's a municipal act that you can't change that one.
So would council be agreeable to not have other bylaws have precedence? Like the notice bylaw would be the precedence for everything else?
So we're not aware of what the other bylaws say.
Yeah, well, that's the problem too, and I think that's why we brought the fees and charges together in one bylaw, because there's so many, staff included, don't know how far to research, right? So if there's one document they go to for any notice within any bylaw, that's helpful.
It's just a matter of getting that information out to the public, that if they read a particular bylaw, then they have to understand that the notice bylaw takes precedence in.
Right.
That can be conveyed to them. And it should be more up to date, certainly, than the previous bylaws, just from the date alone. Go ahead, Councillor Craig.
Or do you have something?
No, it's just a technical on page 10.
Okay.
Section 37, power of entry as opposed to enter. Just the word. And the one that I found rather interesting on page 11, since we're going through this now, and with certain subdivisions, the unassumed roads. And thinking, of course, there is a sequence of events that have to take place. There has to be a final agreement with the final figures, with some variance, I don't know whether contingency plan or what you would call it, of a certain percentage. But it's very difficult to put down the final figure, even with a tender document. That gets us much closer, certainly, but there can be cost overruns. There can be a number of things that could change it. Now, maybe it could be argued that in those situations, the township would have to take care of that. Once people have signed to a certain price, you can't go back and necessarily make them pay more. So any cost overruns would have to be in the agreement, I guess, somehow, that maybe everybody pays, not just the people in the subdivision. But I'm just thinking that's something maybe available to, depending on where this goes, I know it's just a committee of the whole right now. The people in one particular subdivision argued they wanted final figures, and it's pretty hard to provide that at this stage.
Make a copy of that, put it in that file. Yes. And when if it comes forward again, you have that.
Well, that's like the annual budget. It's an estimate of sums required for expenses in the upcoming year, and that's a pretty serious document, but those are estimates.
Other comments?
Yeah, so there was some discussion previously about, you mentioned naming private roads.
All right.
Previously, in our previous version of the bylaw, it said procedures for notice naming highways, which are not private roads.
Right.
So I don't know if that was repealed in the Municipal Act or not. I do have a note here repealed with a question mark, so I'm not sure, but if we wanted to include what we had previously.
I'll check again, but I believe it was when I looked it up.
But if we wanted to include that as what we feel are notices that should be in this notice bylaw, I'm not based on the Municipal Act. Because our preamble purpose, or the section 270 of the Municipal Act 2001 affirms that the municipality shall adopt and maintain a policy respect to the circumstances in which the municipality shall provide notice to the public, and if notice is to be provided, the form, manner, and times notice shall be given. So, although we have the authority from the Municipal Act to, and the requirement to have a notice policy, it doesn't say that every notice has to be based on the Municipal Act.
No. Okay, any other comments from council? In person, online. I'm not sure if you have a copy of the document. Not sure if you want to read the document. Okay. Oh, Councillor Craig, something else here.
So we did have in our previous version, 2003, and about the financial statements. So this notice bylaw has been in place since 2003, and has staff been viewing what they were supposed to do regarding financial statements on an annual basis? Because it hasn't changed from what's in the draft version. So like this is a bylaw that we've had, but in regards to the financial statements being published, shall publish in a newspaper having general circulation in the municipality a copy of the audited financial statements, the notes to the financial statements, the auditor's report, and the tax rate information for the current and previous year as contained in the financial review, or a notice that the information described in subclass clause one will be made available at no cost to any taxpayer or resident of the municipality upon request.
I'm sure I've seen it in the paper years ago.
Oh, yeah.
You'd see, I don't remember seeing McKellar, but, you know,
yeah,
but I remember seeing McDougall, Carling. I remember seeing it, you know, and they were quite lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they probably...
It must have been a cut-down version of what it was, right? But
yeah.
it was a pretty good page, like it'd be page after when we had a newspaper.
The newspaper doubled in depth in when those things were included.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like if we took the auditor's report and published that,
yeah.
I don't know how many pages it was an awful lot. I don't know, we went through it a month or two ago anyhow. It's not insubstantial, so.
Yeah, like I think probably when we had the clerk for so many years, that was done then, and then we've changed so many times, and how would Carly know, because she's been, you know, in that position for a short period of time, unless you're going back through.
Yeah,
everything.
It's such an old bylaw, sometimes it's hard to find, and then, yeah, things have changed through it, so it's definitely time to refresh it a bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it.
And as you say, other townships are not doing it either.
No, I haven't seen it. Yeah, well, we don't see the paper, right?
No.
It used to be good for starting a fire.
Okay, resolution 25-423, move the Council of Fechner, Secretary Councilor Zulak, to resolve the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby rise and report from the Committee of the Whole at
7:38 p.m.
Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. On to 14.1. 25-424, move by Councilor Rod and second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the September 16th, 2025 regular meeting of Council and September 19th, 2025 special meeting of Council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution, this is item 15.1, resolution 25-425, with the Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive the draft conditions met letter for consent application number B05/2024 Moffitt, and further authorizes the clerk to sign the letter and send it to the Prairie Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion. And it's good too, I've mentioned this before, you're now putting it in parentheses, evidence that's been provided for each condition being met, and I think that's important to council to see that. So, not that we're doubting it. It leaves the paper trail.
Mm. They were in before. So I've been doing it for a while, so I don't know.
Oh, no, I know.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I think there was a comment fairly recently to add the parentheses, but I just wanted to reiterate that they've been there for a little bit. But.
Good. Further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 16.1. Then resolution 25-426, move to Councilor Kekkonen, second to Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the District of Prairie Sound West, Belvedere Heights Corporation annual information meeting minutes for June 20th, 2024, financial statements year-end for Belvedere Heights, December 31st, 2024, independent auditor's report year-ended, community support services, March 31st, 2025, and board of management meeting minutes for June 25th, 2025, for information purposes. Discussion? Now, Councilor Zulak will summarize all that for us.
Oh. It's all there for you to read. Well, you zoomed in on the annual.
Yeah, that's not on this list, though.
Yeah. Annual information?
No, no, it was up to June 25th, your last meeting. And all this information was for last year's?
No, it has the annual information meeting September 17th.
Yeah, but I don't think we received all that. This motion doesn't say we did. I know you did.
Yeah, but is it in your package?
That'll come next year. If you look at the dates that are on here, it's 2024.
Okay. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying, yeah.
It makes it difficult, but then you have to have them audited, so you can't really get them in that
year. Right, I see what you're saying, yeah. I was thinking the annual information meeting we just had.
Yeah. Okay, call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 16.2. Resolution 25-427, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the District Social Services Administration Board meeting minutes from May the 8th, 2025, June the 12th, 2025, August the 14th, 2025, and the special meeting on June 17th, 2025 for information purposes. Discussion? I'm thinking one thing we should maybe be forwarding to our representatives. I believe that's Mr. Constable from McDougal. And who's the other one representing us? Anyway, receiving all of these at this point, May, June, August, another one in June, is so late after the fact. I'm not sure when they accept them, but I think they meet monthly at least. Maybe we can get these a bit sooner so that if there was any question, there'd be time to react to it. I think this is what they're starting to do now is pile them all up and send them all at once. And I don't know if that's effective for information for us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, what we used to do, I'm not sure if anything's going on there that we should be aware of, but the representatives used to go around to the municipalities that they represented and do a quick update presentation. Because I'm not even sure, maybe you would know this, Carly, whether DSAB meetings are open to the public through Zoom.
I'm not sure. Councilor Gray for Whitestone was sending us the minutes, but then I just ran into her recently at a meeting and I said that I would pull them off monthly because I can get them quicker and they're easily accessible, so we'll have them more frequent now.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah, Janice Bray.
Would Council like me to invite her to a meeting?
I think it'd be
sure.
Useful.
I think the only problem is Whitestone's council meetings are on the same day as ours, but like you run into that when it burnt my teeth, but I can ask.
And Whitestone's.
But I'm thinking with Whitestone, they meet all day, so they start at 10 in the morning and go to 5.
Right, so she should be done by the time our meeting starts.
Yeah.
The Belvedere minutes for June, because we didn't have a meeting in July and August,
right.
So that's why they were back from June. Just so.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 16.3, resolution 25-428, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Perry Sound Area Planning Board meeting minutes for May 26, 2025. July 28th, 2025, for information purposes. Discussion? Again, the same sort of thing, but they don't really approve them until the following meeting, so it's hard to get them right up to date. Plus, they didn't have a meeting, I guess it was September, right? So.
Do members have access to them before they're on the website? Because I find, like, we're pulling them off the website currently, and they're very late at putting them on the website, so I didn't know if you or Councillor Haskin have them quicker than what is posted to the public.
No, it's pretty well just the weekend before sort of thing. It's like Thursday or Friday when he sends out the agenda, then we get them included there, but we get them no sooner than that. But there is a problem, and that's been complained about in the past too by residents, that the planning board website needs updating, I guess, or things have to be published, not posted, more often, because it's hard to follow.
I think it might just be good to say in the public meeting, too, now that there's a Canada Post strike, any consent applications that are in the municipality are now being posted on our township website under public notices, because notices can't be sent by mail right now. So just take a look on our website to make sure that people are catching the consent application notices for planning applications in our township.
Good to know. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. To 16.4, resolution 25-429, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Township of McKellar Public Library Board meeting minutes for August 25th, 2025, for information purposes. Discussion? Need more than this fly swatter for that. If he's not bothering us, I guess.
It's a big one.
It's a horn.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. It's picking up the mic, isn't it? On to 17.1. Yeah, resolution 25-430, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby received report admin-2025-18, request for proposal 2025-15, real estate services for the sale of municipal property from Carly Britton, clerk administrator, and further, the Council award the request for proposal 2025-15 to Landmax Realty, Inc., with a commission rate of 3.5%, and further, that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute all necessary documents to engage Landmax Realty, Inc., in accordance with the Township Sale of Real Property Bylaw 2011-24. Before I open up for discussion, maybe Carly can give a little background on this one.
Council deemed a property surplus. It's a waterfront property at the corner of Craigmore and Burnett's Road. A request for proposal was put out on September 3rd to engage real estate agents to sell the property. The RFP closed on September 17, 2025, and one submission was received from Landmax Realty of Mississauga. Important to note that they are a brokerage member of the Toronto Real Estate Board and Durham Region. They are not one of the Parry Sound Real Estate Board, but they said upon signing a contract, they will join that real estate board so they can sell the property in this area. So that's advertised in this area. I had a conversation with the treasurer and staff as well. We're suggesting that council award the RFP to Landmax Realty, commission rate of 3.5%. The township could pursue a direct sale in accordance with our sale real property bylaw, but just to ensure that we are transparent and this approach supports accountability and best practices in municipal sales property, that's the way we are recommending. The cost savings are modest when you do the calculation of paying a commission rate or paying other fees. So in conclusion, we are recommending that council move forward with awarding this RFP.
Okay, comments from council? I guess one of the problems I have is the same sort of thing that comes out. I can't even give you a page number, but it's part D, city proposal form. All the way throughout, they're referencing the university. This looks to me more like a cut and paste. And they do mention Township of McKellar a few times, which is good. But I'm just not sure this particular company, whether this is the route to go. They say that they would be joining the Parry Sound Real Estate Board. I don't know if that's a guarantee or not. And I'm really wondering, I guess, the services they provide. If they operating out of Toronto, first of all, would they know property values up here? And I know real estate agents in the past from other areas would sometimes work with a local realtor so that So that creates a problem. How can they get involved then as an agent for the vendor if they have a purchaser in mind? I just don't know how this is actually going to realistically work out hiring this company. Councilor Kekman?
I think they're alluding to the fact that they are going to use subcontractors at the letter that was sent September 15, 2025. I've read and understand that as the successful proponent, I and any and all subcontractors that I use to perform any of the work must abide by specifications as stated within the Township Proposal 2025-15, and that I am responsible to ensure and to ensure any and all subcontractors are aware of this requirement. So it sounds like they're going to use a subcontractor.
If they can. And that's the question, I guess. A subcontractor would be somebody local, but I'm not sure if the local could get involved as a subcontractor. And I'm looking at this, too, just from their experience, what they do. It's more like an investment thing. It's almost like it's preparing sites and the samples that they give for developments as opposed to a sale of a piece of property. It seems almost like they're looking at developers coming in wanting to purchase a piece of property to develop it, whether it be for high-rises or whatever, but it just seems to be different from what we're looking for. I could be misinterpreting what their experience is. It concerns me a little bit, I guess, and I know they've got some experience, but one of them that will be representing us worked as a caseworker for the City of Toronto. Another one was an independent training consultant for nonprofit organizations. And plus, they also say that letter that you referred to, this seems to be their approach, that they will determine potential value, strategize marketing, and potential buyer options prior to putting the property on the market. So it almost looks to me like they're going to be, if there is a particular person, limiting it to initially people they have on their list who might be interested in purchasing, and are we really getting the best money there? Because if they turn to a company and say, we've got a piece of property for you, now this is what you can do with it, looking at the zoning, and that person gets first crack at it, that concerns me. Is it really fully marketed?
So if they have the opportunity to sell it for 4 months, right?
120 days, yeah.
Yeah. So if they get a buyer, the township still gets to...
Oh, yes, have the final say.
Final say.
I guess my concern is it's so different from what we've usually done in the area.
Yeah.
And I guess the big question is, and you put this out there, we've got a pretty large real estate board, a lot of property for sale in this area, and yet they didn't bid on it. It was just the one out of Toronto.
Yeah, and I should have mentioned that I did I did invite to tender all of the local real estate agents,
mm-hmm.
so only one submission was received outside of the area, so that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like I'm saying, if they don't sell it within 4 months, we can put it out again, and we do have the final say if there is an offer, whether we want to accept it or not, right?
Well, no,
and
we didn't get
anybody else.
But the question is, too, that 3.5% of what? It says that's what they're charging, but all of their groundwork, are we paying for that? If it doesn't sell, do we still pay them?
Yeah, so it doesn't.
That's not exactly clear on that.
Commission fee, right?
Right.
Isn't that mean the sale price?
I assume, but if we don't take the sale, and they'll have expenses. I mean, are we on the hook for whatever they've done?
Well, you're not.
I just need to clarify.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think, like, on a normal real estate deal, right? If they don't sell your place, you're not on the hook for anything.
Shouldn't be, no.
Like here, anything I've ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Here, yeah.
Like if it's the time's run out and they never sold it, you didn't have to pay for them coming to show this place or anything?
No.
I don't know. I'm just thinking it's the only one.
It isn't explicit that way, but I took for granted that it was, you know, off the sale price, right?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they've got all the zeros on the right-hand side of that page, too, so... yeah, we're getting into the time of year when, if you're in Toronto, you don't feel like driving up here if it's snowing, so...
Yeah, I'm just a little disappointed that it wasn't picked up by a local.
Yeah.
And I guess those are our only two options, isn't it? You say direct sale or through this Toronto real estate agent. And you're right, this is what we always have to factor in, are we doing the best advertising we can? If we don't go to the real estate group, we can do our own appraisal, I think you'd mentioned that, and get a value of what we think it's worth, but even those are questionable at times with their comparables.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what the public sees is the appraisal value, and if it's low, then they're going to question if you suddenly say, well, this is what we're asking for. Usually you're stuck with the appraisal value, whatever it comes in at. We ran into that before with a piece of property. It's through a tender process, and we accepted one of the tenders, and it was back in Maplewood subdivision, and it was for $25,000. I think that was the highest tender that, at the time, and that was our only option. We couldn't go through the real estate route, and this person only had it for a few months and flipped it for $75,000, and so we knew it was worth more than that. It was waterfront property, but we were limited by what we could do. So we have to be careful in what we do here, if we do anything at this stage. And I know it's excess property, and certainly we can use the money in other areas, but how we go about it is an important consideration. Councilor Pegner.
So is there a list of questions that are going to be forwarded to this?
That's an idea.
Because the motion on the table basically says that the Council of the Corporation, Township McKellar, hereby receives report admin 2025-18, request for proposal 2025-15, real estate service for the sale of municipal property from Carla Britton, Clerk of Ministry, for information purposes. We haven't said anything about, and further, we execute this agreement. Oh, is there one? There's another one after that?
That's the one I read.
You can defer to fee
okay.
as well.
That gives explicit direction.
So that one's not in